To start the program, let's do a mindful walking session. I'm sure most of you are familiar about the practice, but anyway, I'll give you some guidance. We find some space where we can walk in a comfortable manner. And in probably like something like 10-15 steps, that type of a space, and you walk back and forth in a comfortable manner. While walking, try to notice, try to pay attention to the walking sensations. And when you do this, you can easily notice the sensations at your feet. Maybe it's the heel that's touching. Maybe the middle part is not touching. Then ball of your feet and the toes are touching. That way you can notice the sensations of your feet. You can notice the texture, temperature of the ground that you're walking. Right? So those details you can observe. You can pay attention to those details while walking. Time to time, naturally, our attention goes to different things. Thoughts, memories, they grab our attention. Sometimes you see things, you hear things. But among all these things, we can gently return our attention back to the walking sensations. Not just once, not just twice, maybe many times, we'll simply notice that we have gotten carried away. And with that awareness, you can gently return your attention back to the feet, back to the walking sensations. So that way we will try to do a walking session. And when you hear the bell sound, you can return. Okay, everyone. So that's our time to do a mindful walking session today. I hope all of you got to practice and got the idea of mindful walking. You can do it on your own daily, at least like 30-40 minutes. If you do a mindful walking practice, that's how you can develop. With that, you can take over, Arush.
Thank you very much, Ante. We now come to the part of our regular program where we listen to a short talk, reflection on how we can develop and integrate mindfulness practice into our lives. So today we're continuing, I think, a topic that was started in the last session based on this quotation from the movie Kung Fu Panda. Don't push past memories deeper inside yourself. Let those memories breathe and let old wounds heal. So now, with the greatest respect, I would like to invite Venerable Dhammakusala Thero to deliver today's Dhamma talk, mindfulness talk and reflection. With much merits, Bhante, over to you.
Okay, everyone. So this is a continuation from the last time. I think we discussed certain aspects of it last time. So today we are again taking the same topic and we will see how we can relate the same topic to our lives. Now, when we think about the past memories, we had to go through certain difficult experiences. We had to go through certain, maybe a loss of a loved one, maybe certain bad experiences. So that way, we need healing from these past wounds. And these wounds, they are not so obvious. When you work, when you function, you can't feel that they exist. But sometimes they come after you like a dark shadow and maybe influence all the decisions and maybe influence the way that you feel in your mind. So that way, these things keep chasing us. Although they are not so obvious, they are there, and they work as a dragging force to our lives. So healing from these wounds are important. And we were able to find this very nice quote from one of the movies. And it shows us how to heal from these past wounds. Especially when it comes to meditation practice, especially when it comes to mindfulness practice, you have to understand how you should deal with such past incidents, wounds. If you suppress them, then there is no healing. If you allow them to come, you get overwhelmed by them. But somehow you have to develop the ability, not within a day, not within a week, but gradually develop the ability and allow these memories to breathe and allow these wounds to heal. So that was the idea. And I think we discussed that in great detail last time. Now today, I'll bring your attention to some other aspect of the same topic or same idea. Now, let's forget about the past for a while. Of course, all of us had to go through unpleasant experiences. All of us had to go through lost of loved ones, right? So that's past. How about the future? Are we ensured that we don't have to go through such experiences in the future? Do you have a guarantee that you don't have to go through difficult experiences in the future? Do you have a guarantee that you don't have to go through the death of loved ones in the future? Right? There is no such guarantee. And of course, we all know that we will have to go through many of such experiences. Although we like to think otherwise, that is the reality. That is the reality. So all of us in the future is uncertain, and we don't know what will come towards us. We don't know what's around the corner, right? So how can we be better prepared for the events to come, right? That's the important thing. That's what I would like to focus today. How can we be better prepared for such events in the future? Now, we have learned some lessons from the past, and we are doing our mindful practice to heal from those past wounds. And the importance of mindfulness is that it can help you be prepared for the future events to come. Maybe in the past, you didn't know the idea of mindfulness. You didn't know the correct way of facing such incidents. And it is natural that you get overwhelmed. It is natural that you get broken by these incidents, experiences. But as the mindful practitioners, I think the most important thing would be to be prepared for the future events. How can we be prepared for the future such events? That's the important thing. Now, let's think about this. Now, if I ask you, what are the choices that you made today? You might think about it. You might have certain answers. Maybe you made a choice what to eat for breakfast. Maybe you made a choice whether to talk to somebody or not. Right? So such choices we usually feel, and we know that we are making such menial choices. What to eat, whether to talk, whether to do something or not. So those things are menial. Those things take only little effort in your daily life, right? So if I ask you what are the choices that you made today, you might come up with such answers. But in reality, although you make choices with the body, although you make choices with your words, in reality, you are making many more choices than these simple ones. Especially in your mind, every moment you are making choices. Whether you know it or not, that's a different matter. But each and every moment, we keep making choices. That process is continually happening in our mind. Right? So some thoughts, you make a choice to encourage those thoughts. Some thoughts, you make the choice not to encourage those thoughts. I am not saying this is happening fully consciously. Maybe more like a subconscious manner. Maybe more like an addiction. Maybe more like a bias. You are making such choices. Some thoughts, without even you knowing, you keep encouraging, feeding those thoughts, and some of them are just left behind. So that way, in our mind, we keep making choices. And if you make bad choices, that is not good for your mind. For example, I saw this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and those people, they were not meditators, but they were talking about a similar problem. They were saying it's like your mind has a certain capacity. Your mind has a certain bandwidth. And if you are occupied with some negative matters in your life, then that capacity, probably like 30% of that capacity, is given to that negative matter. Maybe let's say you are in a relationship with somebody, and that person is an idiot, and that person is fighting continuously, demanding, making you occupied with those things. Let's say every day, if you had to go through such negative influences, every day if you had to go through such a relationship, then what happens is that probably like 30-40% of your mind capacity is occupied with that negativity. You have made a poor choice to be with that person, and as a result, daily you sacrifice your mind's capacity. So these people were talking about that idea, and they were saying that once you do that, only 60% of the capacity is left for the other things. You have given 40% of your capacity for this relationship, this negative influence in your life, and the remaining 60% is the only thing that you have for all the other matters. Right? So imagine getting involved in such a matter. Imagine daily sacrificing your precious mind's capacity for a negative influence. Although we might not know directly, if we really reflect on our lives, all of us might have such negative influences. Maybe some of you are spending hours and hours on social media. And when you go on social media, usually whatever that grabs our attention, they are not usually positive. That is a fact, right? Go on YouTube and see where your attention goes. Go on Facebook and see what grabs your attention. Right? So this way, most of the time, if you spend many hours on social media, your attention might go to negative things. Daily for many hours, those negative things will influence you. Right? So that way, we are sacrificing the precious capacity of our mind to unwanted things. And as a result, you are left with only 40% or maybe like 60% of the remaining capacity. And another thing with the mind is that whatever that you give the attention, that grows. In modern terms, they say that attention is the boss of your brain. Whatever the thing that you give your attention, that grows, that becomes prominent in your brain. And if you keep giving your attention to some negative relationship, if you keep giving your attention to some narcissistic relationship, then what happens is that negative influence will grow more and more. Your attention will go into that negativity in hourly, daily basis. And as a result, you are going through a downward spiral. As a result, the things are getting worse and worse, right? So that way, you can see we have a limited capacity in our mind, a precious capacity in our mind. So it is important that we make wise choices. Wise choices in our lives. I'm not focusing about the past ones. Maybe past you have made bad choices, poor choices. That's done. That we discussed last time. But think about the present and the upcoming future. You have to make wise choices, and that way you can save the precious capacity of your mind. That capacity is not unlimited. That is limited capacity. And you have to decide what are the things that you give your attention to. What are the things that you give this precious capacity to, right? So in a way, making wise choices, being mindful about them, is a form of meditation. Not the formal practice as walking and sitting, but in a way, every moment you are in a meditation. When you talk to people, when you do things, when you browse the internet, if you be mindful, if you make wise choices, then you are getting rid of these negative influences that occupy your mind capacity. Right? So that's a way of making better choices. That's important. Although it doesn't show any value in short term, in long term, it will make a huge difference in your life. Because I'm sure you all know some people who have gone through that downward spiral. They keep giving their attention to negative things, and they are getting worse and worse. It's always a downward spiral. And when you are halfway through the spiral, it's not easy to get out of it. That's also true, right? But little by little, if you put effort, little by little, if you be mindful, you can gradually start to make better choices. And that way, you are saving the precious capacity of your mind. And you can utilize that capacity for the valuable things in your life. Maybe giving that attention capacity to your children, giving that attention capacity to your studies, giving that attention capacity to develop a new skill, maybe playing a musical instrument. Right, so that way you can utilize that precious capacity for the positive things, for the things that will make you happy and contented. Right, so that's important. That's how we can be better prepared for the future events to come. Right, past is done, past is gone. But in the future also, we have to face this life. In the future also, we have to go through difficult experiences. And if you make these better choices, wise choices, every moment, every second, every day, every week, then I'm sure most of the negative events to come will be eliminated. Right? It's always a changing dynamic. There's no fixed anything. Right, it's always changing. So if you get influenced in negative matters, then of course more and more negativity will follow you. Right, if you get influenced in positive matters, then of course the positivity will follow you. Right, so that's the reality. That's how it works. Even in the sciences, these days they talk about epigenetics. I remember we covered this topic many months ago, and in epigenetics, they call about nature versus nurture. Nature is more like your genetics, right? Maybe from your parents, you have certain genes in you, right? From your parents, maybe you have a cancerous gene, right? So are you destined to have a cancer in the future? That is not like that. It doesn't work like that, right? Instead, nurture also matters. Nurture is more like making better choices. Every day, every moment, we are making choices, right? So if we can make better choices, then you have the capacity to make that cancer gene latent. That's why they call this epigenetics. Epi means above genetics. What is above genetics? There's this chemical flagging on these genes, and depending on the nurture part, depending on the choices that you make, you can decide whether you activate or whether you keep it latent, right? Of course, it is not a conscious process, but making better choices helps, right? So that way, you can see even the genetics, whatever you have in your genetics, you can change those behaviors as well. So it's an ever-changing dynamic that we are in. There is nothing fixed. There is nothing destined. Instead, it's always a changing dynamic. If you are present, if you are mindful, if you make better choices, then the future will change for the better. That is guaranteed, right? And how to be more prepared for the future? There's only one way. You can be prepared by being present in the moment, making better choices in the moment, right? Each and every moment, you are making choices, and that way you can change the future for the better. That's what the mindfulness will do. That's how the mindfulness will influence you. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what are the future events that we'll have to go through. But we are prepared by being present. We are prepared by being mindful. Every moment, we are making better choices. Every moment, we are responding in a healthy way. That's important. Let's say, for example, things like jealousy. When you deal with day-to-day matters, it is natural that you get such feelings. Especially women, they feel this jealousy factor in their mind a lot, right? And you can respond to this feeling in two different ways. Either you can respond in a positive, constructive manner, either you can respond in a negative, destructive manner, right? Usually, it goes with the negative, destructive manner. You make jealous, you say words based on that, you do things again and again, you embrace that jealousy towards somebody. And will that affect other person? It's like jealousy is like you are trying to harm the other person, right? You are trying to harm the other person by injecting poison yourself. That's the only thing that you are doing. It's not influencing the other person. It's influencing you. And it's influencing you negatively. So when it is natural that we get such feelings, things like jealousy, but you have a choice. You can respond to that jealousy in a different way. Right? So that's how being mindful in the moment matters. If you are not mindful, then you are caught in the jealousy. You go halfway in the process. Then only you realize, okay, I have gotten carried away by the jealousy. But if you are mindful, you can catch it earlier and earlier. And that will allow you to make better choices or make respond to these things positively. And that helps, that matters a lot, right? So every moment you can see how we can save this precious capacity, how we can change the future by making better choices in the present, right? So that's how we can do. And let's say some people, they come and tell you something. Immediately we have a reaction. Some of you might agree with that person. Some of you might disagree with that person. Right? So this way, we get caught in certain views, certain opinions, and we work based on the assumption that they are correct. Right? So that way, sometimes we agree with people, sometimes we disagree with people. They give us opinions, they give us ideas, and we react to them. That is the usual way of functioning. That is how you function in the day. But the mindful practitioners or the meditators, they have something to do in such occasions. What do they have to do? Right? They can be mindful and try to navigate that situation wisely. For example, somebody might come and blame someone else. Immediately, you might agree or you might disagree. Right? Both creates conflict. Agreeing with that person create conflict. Disagreeing with that person create conflict. And maybe later you realize, although I agreed, later you realize it was not correct. Although you disagreed and tried to fight that person, later you realized it was correct. Right? So this way, we get caught in the process, we make mistakes. And such mistakes, when you make them repetitively, can lead you to disasters. Right? So the meditator, they have something to do in such moments. What do they have to do? They don't agree with such opinions, views, and no, they don't disagree as well. Right? They don't agree and they don't disagree as well. They simply acknowledge what is said and simply navigate that situation without agreeing or disagreeing. That's a valuable skill that you can develop in your mind. And the world or the other people, they don't like that. They will tell you, what is happening with you? You have to either agree or disagree. Just come and join me or either fight me. Right? So that's the way that they usually respond. That's how the world expects you to do. But the meditators, they try to create this balanced mind, or they try to create this open mind. Whatever the opinions that are given, they don't immediately agree to them. No, they disagree with them. They simply acknowledge what is said and simply move forward with that balanced, open mind. And if you can, I'm sure you can't develop it within a day, within a certain incident. But when you try it repetitively, when you do it again and again, little by little, you can really develop this ability. That is very much important. That is very much helpful for you to make better choices. Because if you agree, if that thing is wrong, then you are doomed. If you disagree and if that thing is wrong, then again, you are directed towards a disaster. Right? So instead of doing that, we simply keep an open mind. Keep an open mind without agreeing or disagreeing. We simply acknowledge it and we navigate that situation. And if you can have that attitude in your mind, then you realize with time, you start to make much better, wise decisions. You don't get caught in other people's opinions, ideas. It is not easy for them to deceive you because your mind is open, because your mind is balanced. In a way, this is the middle way. This is the middle practice. You keep an open, balanced mind and you navigate certain situations with that mind. Even things like happiness, sadness, right? Those emotions, whether positive or negative, this person might not go into extremes of them. Too much of anything is not good. So extreme sorrow or extreme happiness, both of these extremes are not good. And if your mind is getting carried away by the emotions, then without you even knowing, you will escalate things into extremes. That is what happened most of the incidents, most of the people. They weren't trying to do such a thing. But they were caught, they got carried away with the emotions and things escalate too quickly. And maybe ended up killing somebody even. Right? Those things happen. You see the news, you read those newspapers, it will tell you there's some small incident. Maybe road rage, small incident. But you get emotional, you get carried away, and things escalate too quickly. And you end up killing somebody even. You end up harming somebody, you end up getting into the prison. Right? So those things happen. Why? Because we go into the extremes of these emotions. You will tell me that it's only the negative emotions that you have to be careful. Negative emotions like anger, sadness, things like that. Those things will lead you into difficult things and you might do things that you will regret one day. With the extreme anger, with the extreme sadness, you do things and later you regret. And you will say that it's only the negative emotions that has this bad influence. But in reality, even the positive ones, even the things like happiness, if you go into extremes of those positive emotions, that too is not good. Although you don't see the fault of it immediately, it happens. Right? So that's why even the negative emotions, the extremes of negative emotions, even the extremes of positive emotions, both these extremes are not good. It's okay to feel happiness, it's okay to feel sadness, but make sure that you don't go to the extremes of them. Even in a relationship, even in a family matter, it's natural that you get frustrated. It's natural that you feel sad, anger, but make sure that you don't go to the extremes of them. Maybe you'll have to make a better choice in order to avoid going to the extremes. Maybe you'll have to leave home for a while, go out, drink a cup of coffee, and come back. Right? Taking a break from the situation. 1 hour, 45 minutes will do a magic trick, right? So that's how it is. That's how it is. If you can keep that balanced mind, then you will make sure that you don't go to the extremes of these situations. And in a way, that is the middle path. Instead of going to those extremes, this end or the other end, you try to keep this balanced, controlled manner. And that way, you practice the middle path in you. And that is important. That is how you can navigate these situations much better. It's okay to feel happiness. It's okay to feel anger. But make sure that you don't go to the extremes of them. If you go to the extremes of them, then you won't know. You get carried away with them and you won't know what you are doing. Right? So that's how we can be more mindful in the moment. And that's how we can make better choices in the moment. And that's how we can avoid the future disasters to come. You might not be able to avoid everything, but at least we minimize them. And whenever such disasters happen, we are better prepared in our mind. We are better prepared with the power of mindfulness. So that's the idea for today. I hope we did justice to the topic that we are discussing. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Monte. Yes, very, very helpful and interesting insights into how mindfulness can help us in making these good choices in our day-to-day lives. So yes, very grateful for those reflections. We now move to the section of our program where we recollect and refresh our memories of the guide for mindfulness for beginners, and also listen to practice reports that have been sent in and request Bhante's advice and guidance on those. So for this part of today's program, I would like to invite Anupama to take over and lead us through the guide, as well as the reading of the practice reports. Over to you, Anu.
Thank you, Arusha. I hope you can hear me clearly. So as Arusha pointed out, he is going to share on the screen for you the Mindfulness for Beginners in English guide. Most of you are familiar with this by now, but for those who aren't, this is a little refresher. We would like to ask you to first start off by watching some basic instruction videos. The link to mindful walking and for mindful sitting is on the screen in front of you. Arusha has also kindly posted it in the chat for your reference. So once you have watched these videos and the instructions, you can then allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness, mindful walking, and mindful sitting. If you continue this for a few days, once you have completed at least 2 hours of each practice in total, the third step is to write down a reflection report. This you can start as either a question or a statement. You can write your experience. So, for example, We did a mindfulness session in walking this morning at the beginning of the session for about 15 minutes. So you can actually put this down in the form of a report and you can organize it in titles. You can describe the sensations. So when you were walking, what did it feel like underfoot? When your weight was shifting, what were the prominent sensations? What was the texture of the ground? And the pressure points the soles were touching, etc. Similarly, you can do that with mindful sitting. For example, if you're focusing on your breath, you can write about the movement of breath in and out of your nostrils, the movement of your abdomen in and out, etc. Once your report is completed, you can then submit it either via Google form or via email. Both links are in front of you on the screen and in the chat. So once you provide the report, we will receive it and then present it here at the session for further discussion and reflection. So that's the end of the Mindfulness for Beginners in English guide, the recap. I will now move on to reading the reports for today. Report number one. Theruvan Saranai Bante. There's nothing to mention about Sakmana and Paryankaya. Notice below points regarding the experience of living with family after being alone for some years. It has adjusted to the situation as much as possible. Sometimes it sticks to fading things, but it comes back to neutral as no ability to keep thinking continuously. Wherever subtle friction arose, it turned back to me, not the outer person, pointing out why. It was found that one's dislikes and likes are mirrored via surrounding people, related incidents. One's resistance to another's action shows our dislike or likes as a mirror. In another way, it's like thoughts reflected as experience. Where it is held to something, it is known via the sign of tiredness initially. It started to check because of why this tiredness is there. As soon as it sees the reason, it faded away. But later, that checking also became more tiring and started to let go of the checking. Whatever happening in the background, sometimes it is not relevant. Sometimes, even if it is hurt, it's just hurt and have no interest in engaging with it. Even if it sticks to something due to tiredness, it leads to letting go sooner or later. Recently noticed that, like earlier, not able to see the clear boundary between positive thinking and negative thinking, it feels like there is no such two as positive or negative thinking. Theruvan Saranai Bante, end of report number one.
Okay, right. So that's a good way to meditate in your daily life. And that type of meditation is recommended if you want to really improve the practice. Otherwise, we'll do few minutes of mindful walking, sitting, but we'll just forget about our daily life and keep being and encouraging unmindful during the day. That's not how it should be done. Instead, this way, if you can pay attention to things, it can do great difference in your life. So I have made some notes regarding the comments that you made. The first one is, sometimes we get carried away with the negative things, but soon it comes back to neutral. That's one of the observations that you have done. that observation is very much related to the comment that we were making in the talk as well. Not going to the extremes of things. It is okay that we feel these things. It is okay we get carried away a little. But you have to make sure that you don't go to the extremes of such situations. You have to take whatever precautions to avoid extremes of such situations. Maybe, as I said earlier, leaving the place for a while, taking a break from it. Right? So that way, we try to maintain some kind of a balanced mind. And the observation that you have done is the influence of mindfulness in you. Otherwise, it won't release your mind that easily. What happens is that when the mindfulness becomes stronger, you realize it is getting carried away, the mind is going through these processes, but halfway into the process, it releases and come back to the neutrals. That is not intentional, really. It's not like you are doing it, but it is happening. How it is happening? It is happening due to the repetitive practice. It is happening due to the training that you have done. It is happening as a result of the mindfulness that you have developed. Right? So that's one of the things that I noticed. Then again, another comment was there that you said that whenever you feel friction, instead of turning your attention towards the outside, you turn inwards. That too is very much important in the practice. Usually whenever we feel friction, we turn our attention towards the outside. We blame somebody, we blame a situation. That's how we react to such things. But the practitioner, they always turn inwards and see what is the reasoning for this friction. Is it the outside person or is it the issue that you have in your mind? Right? So that's the way of practice. And one of the children from the Satipasala sessions, he was telling that whenever he felt friction, he was noticing the bodily changes in him. Whenever you feel friction, whether due to anger or something else, sadness, there are changes in your body. They are subtle, but when you pay attention, you can notice them. So that boy was telling that he as the practice, he was noticing the bodily changes that happens with the friction. That's one way of, you know, turning inwards. And instead of going outside, we try to figure out the reasoning inside, right? So that way of practice is valid. That way of practice is good, right? Then another comment you mentioned, that checking, it becomes a burden, right? So that also is true. Especially, let's say, the practitioners, they do the labeling. And some of the places, they encourage the labeling a lot, probably too much. Right? They every step, they have to label. Every breath, they have to label. Every bite, they have to label. Every thought, they have to label. That way, if you go overboard with the labeling, what happens is that very labeling or that very analyzing becomes a burden to you. I remember when I started this practice early in the career, when I came here to Nisarna, one of the monks, he gave me an advice to count everything. Count the steps, count the brush strokes, count the bites, count the things that you do. And he was asking me to come back with the final count in a day. What is the final count that I am averaging? Every step, has to be counted. Every bite has to be counted. Every sip of a drink has to be counted. Every stroke of a brush has to be counted. Right? So that way, what is the total count at the end of the day? Although that advice was given, although I didn't disagree with that advice, I simply acknowledged it. I didn't do. Because right by seeing it, I felt like this is not correct. This is not going to help me. Right? Maybe it can help somebody else. But for me, it was too bothering. Right? You sacrifice your freedom for the count. You sacrifice your freedom to analyze things. Right? Too much. That's too much. Right? And if you keep counting, then if you do it for a long time, you might go crazy in you. You know, always counting in a talk, in a chatter increases. And, you know, it might drive you crazy. So always make sure that you don't go to such extremes. Even the analyzing is, it's too much. Then let it go. Some people, they try to, you know, squeeze things out of the meditation. Right? In the sitting, they have to squeeze everything out of it. In the walking, they have to squeeze everything out of it. In the daily practice also, they try to squeeze everything out of it. That way, they put too much effort in the practice. And that is not good. Right? Whatever that you notice, that's enough. Right? You don't have to chase after it. Whatever that becomes prominent, that's enough. Right? Simply notice that and go forward. If you try to squeeze things, then that's a good way to end up with a headache. You try to squeeze things out of the walking session. You try to squeeze and try to be more mindful to notice everything. That doesn't work. And you'll get a headache at the end of the day. Right? So you have to be gentle with the practice. Just simply notice whatever noticeable. That's enough. Right? Simply analyze whatever analyzable. That's enough. Right? Don't try to overdo it. So that too you have realized that is important. We make mistakes. Right? It's always trial and error. But we learn things and we figure out the best way to practice. That's how it works. Right? So in your practice you have realized that analyzing is too much. So that's good. That's good. Then the final thing I can't read. That's gone, that's missing, right? So let's forget about that matter. I'm sure this is enough for you to continue your practice. That too, I tried not to, you know, push too much. And you feel the friction.
Thank you, Bhante. Some very valuable points and advice there. I will now move on to report number 2, mindful walking. Use the daily exercise walk as mindful walking this time. Attention was on feet movements at the beginning. Pace was faster. Nature sounds heard from time to time. Awareness returned to walking sensations. Brightness of sun noted. Thoughts would arise and pass without interrupting. Noted heels pressing hard and the heat on the soles. Mind observed the flow of events calmly. Body was moving and mind seemed to slow down. Walked for 40 minutes. Vibrations in the body continued for a while. Calmness in mind also lingered. Mindfulness during the day. Nothing specific has changed, but familiar things feel different at times. Moments of calmness and acceptance arise, even in times of busy periods. Deadlines do not bring up the same level of agitation as before. The window of tolerance is widening a bit. For example, when plans change suddenly after the initial feeling of disappointment, the presence of mind arises. This is how the world operates. Nothing to worry about. That recovering the mind helps with the next thing that arises. Also noticing the times when body is in pain and the mind is less affected and calm. This report nearly did not take place as it was such a busy day today. Do what is possible arose in mind at intervals. This helped feel more freedom and less pressure. And most things that were important to do in the day were done. Of course, there have been situations where the emotions took over, common sense. But the calmness gradually returned when the emotion was noted. Dear Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Theruvan Saranai.
Okay, right. So the one thing I noticed in your comment is that when the plans end up in a disappointment, if you keep on thinking, if you keep on worrying about them, then you lose the next moment. Right? That happens a lot. Some people, it takes months for them to recover. So they lose months because of that disappointment. Some people, it takes weeks to recover. Some people, it takes days to recover. So that is how we are. More you plan, more this will happen. Right? So it's okay to do a certain level of planning. But when the plans get disappointed, there is a lesson for you. Either to worry about it, struggle, and lose the next moment. Either simply accept it and embrace the next moment. What are we going to do? Right? So that's how we can improve ourselves. When you improve your practice, gradually you realize the mind will practice more and more acceptance towards situation. Although it's a disappointment, although you tried to achieve a different something, this happened. So what can you do? Right? So that's the proper way of navigating such situations. Make sure that you don't lose the next moment. Get ready and embrace the next moment, and that moment might contain a greater opportunity than the one you lost. Right? So that's how it is. We are always open for the next moment. It might have a great opportunity. Right? And you plan things, some things work out, some things end up in disappointment. But there's this master plan kind of a thing working. That master plan, you are not the whole owner or creator. Instead, you have a certain aspect, certain control of it. And nature do a greater part. Nature brings you opportunities. Nature prevent you from doing certain things. But at the end of the day, both of these aspects combined, this is the master plan. Right? You can't be the whole owner of that master plan. That's not how the world works. Instead, you plan, you have a certain influence. But maybe nature, maybe luck plays a role as well. Right? So that way, if you navigate the life, I'm sure that'll be much more efficient. And we don't even know where these things will lead us. Because every moment you are ready to accept the opportunity. And if you keep on accepting such opportunities, then it'll take you to greater lengths. Right? So that's one of the things. Then another comment you made was that you start your practice early in the morning. That's good. It could be your exercise walk, but still you can be mindful and help the practice as well. And that way, when you start, sometimes you realize that certain things, you experience them differently. Right? Especially the mindful practitioners, they feel like that their mind is somewhat some kind of like split mind. They are experiencing this, but in the same time, they are not experiencing it. They are talking or listening to a person, but in the same time, they are not listening or talking. Right? So that way, you start to feel these experiences in a different manner. I think that's the comment that we missed from the earlier report. That person was saying there is no such thing as positive or negative situations. Of course, when the power of mindfulness comes, there is no such thing as positive or negative situation. Right? That good or bad, positive or negative, all these things are worldly concepts. And when you go beyond the world, of course, you go beyond the good and bad. You go beyond the positive and negative. So this kind of a split mind is a sign of going beyond the world. Your mind is partially gone, but still you are experiencing things. Still you are talking to people, but you have this ability to refrain your mind from fully going to those states. Your mind is there, you are listening to that person, but you are not listening in the same time. Let's say if you are listening to someone's problem, then you should have the ability to listen and not listen at the same time. If you keep on listening, if you get emotionally involved with the problem, then you won't see the correct answer to it. If you don't listen completely, then that is ignorance. But you listen. In the same time, you are not listening. That means you have a certain emotional detachment from the situation. You listen to that problem, but you are detached. You experience things, you are detached. You talk to people, you are detached. You go through certain things, but you are detached. That is how we can really attain peace in our mind. This detachment will ensure the peace in you. You live your daily life, you attend to family matters, you go to work, all these things you do, but in the same time, you are detached into a certain degree. That is why we feel these things different. That is why we feel that we are experiencing things differently. Earlier, we thought that it's the same way that we are experiencing. It's the only way to experience. That's how we thought. But when you develop the practice, later you realize there are different ways to experience things. There are different ways to function. You can function in this world, but you can have a certain level of detachment at the same time. That detachment will ensure that you have a certain balanced mind. That detachment will ensure that you have inner peace. Right? So that's how we continue the practice. You are showing a lot of positive signs. Continue and experience this detachment more and more.
Thank you, Bhante, for the advice based on the two reports submitted today. And a big thank you to those who submitted the reports, which brought out a lot of valuable points, especially in relevance to today's topic. Yes, we will conclude the reading of the reports now. The next segment is actually question and answer session. If anybody has a comment or they would like to ask a question, Can you please raise your Zoom hand? Then we will invite you to unmute yourself and speak. Thank you. I don't see any raised hands, so your cue to conclude today's session. Arushan, can I hand it over to you now?
Yes, thank you very much, Anu, and
thank you.
Much merits and thanks to Bhante as well for all the advice and guidance he has provided. So I think, yes, we're coming to the end of our allotted time as well. So I will now wrap up today's session by reflecting on what we have done today in today's session, starting with some mindful walking practice. And a wonderful talk from Bhante about how we can use mindfulness effectively to make better choices in our lives and the value that this can bring. So taken together, all of these activities should help strengthen our mindfulness practice and equip us to continue to develop and report our experiences at future sessions. So I would like to wholeheartedly thank Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for his generosity in giving us time and his wisdom to support our mindfulness practice. We hope that the merits of this noble activity will support and embrace Bhante's own practice, and we hope he will be able to continue to guide us during future sessions. On behalf of the organizers and the participants, I would also like to express my gratitude, heartfelt gratitude, to Most Venerable Uda Irigama Dhamma Jiva Mahathero for his encouragement and guidance for initiating this program of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. I'd also like to thank all the participants, particularly those who shared practice reports with us to help us all learn and improve our practice, and all the organizers for their help in delivering this program. So with that, I would close today's session and look forward to seeing you at future sessions again next Saturday and onwards. Much merits to everyone.